Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
9 days away, we'll finally get there. The NFL draft is the conversation. It has been for us in D.C. for months now. Lance Zierlein has done this for a while at NFL Network, NFL.com. He's also a radio host in Houston. Follow Lance. We've had him on the show before, at Lance Zierlein on X on Twitter. He joins us now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So you wrote in your most recent mock, I try to lock in my mock process by venturing into each general manager's headspace and hypothesizing what the thinking could be relative to draft capital needs and the board in general, scouring draft history, potential clues, positions the organization prioritizes, etc. How do you handle it for Washington? Whole new group, whole new regime. Do you go back and look at what Adam Peters did in San Francisco for some guidance?
Well, first of all, my editor must have made me look smart when I heard some of the words that were in the bio and the intro there. And the second thing is, yeah, you always go back and see the organization of influence. And when it comes to organization of influence, you're going to, you know, look at the way he learned under John Lynch and see the way he, you know, learned under Kyle Shanahan. So you want to take a look at how they prioritize, because typically that particular team of all the teams, they are very set in what types of players. You know, defensively, they look for players like Chase Young, for example. Big, long, good lean mass. You can see that along the front defensively. Offensively, things have changed a little bit under Kyle Shanahan, so it's not as easy to just put them in nice, neat categories as it was when you looked at outside zone teams. And, of course, having Cliff Kingsbury there, you know, that's a little bit of a – I'm not sure from a quarterback standpoint you can do anything with what Adam Peters did. I mean, the Adam Peters – Cliff Kingsbury is going to know his quarterback. So I kind of look, when it comes to quarterback, I've tried to piece together what Kingsbury has had, which is Johnny Manziel, who was a dual-threat quarterback at you know, that he had success with at Texas A&M. Then I went to Kyler Murray, who he basically handpicked – as his quarterback when he was taking over as Arizona. So I look at those two, you know, I look at those two players and I see, okay, these guys had the ability to scramble. I believe he was there with Pat Mahomes,
yeah,
who also was his quarterback. So you're seeing a bunch of guys who have the ability to move, to maneuver, to you can call them dual threat quarterbacks if you want. You can call them mobile quarterbacks. But the ability to move and scramble is pretty important. And both of those guys that I talked about, all three of them can hurt you with their legs. Well, then that, you know, that's one of the reasons that I leaned. I was probably the first one to have, because I'd never, after I watched a tape, I'm like, why are people saying Drake May is quarterback too? This doesn't make any sense off the tape. And it's just a narrative that had built up that hadn't been pushed back against. So I put Jaden Daniels there, and I'm sticking with it because I think that that will make some sense for Cliff Kingsbury. Now, once we get past the first pick and you have all this draft capital for Washington, and I think they are likely to be very aggressive this year with that capital, I'm going to start looking at the way that San Francisco drafted. Unless Adam Peters shows us a different mode that he's willing to operate under, I'm going to look for, you know, length at cornerback. I'm going to look for wide receivers who have run after catch ability, because you know, that's a direction that Kyle Shanahan started to go in, is with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuels. He started saying, wait a minute, I want guys who can run after catch. And that's not exactly the way his dad or Gary Kubiak drew it up, but Kyle has evolved with the position. So, yeah, you do have to go back and look at how San Francisco's drafted. And then Adam Peters, you know, his philosophy will eventually show itself within the first 2 years.
Yeah, that's interesting because one of the things that they both said, both Peters and Quinn, when they were hired, is that they are aligned in vision on the type of player traits that they look for, you know, mm-hmm. and they, you know, the player traits in San Francisco, the Debos, the Kittles, the guys that are basically impossible to tackle, you know, after they have the ball in their hands. So to look for guys like that makes a lot of sense. But let's focus on the Daniels mock at two. So you said something that I want you to go into a little bit in depth. Do you think Daniels is the number two quarterback in this draft, or do you have him close to Caleb Williams?
Well, I've got him very close to Caleb Williams. I think it's basically neck and neck. I was really disappointed with Caleb's tape, if I'm being honest. When I turned the tape on, I was expecting to see this generational player because that was being used, and he's not generational. When you watch tape, it's just a term people throw around all the time, and it's easy when you just sit there and you spout out hyperboles and everyone hits like on your posts or you get the attention from the national media, or the national media saying it, and the listeners and viewers get all excited. When you actually turn on the tape and you do it for a living and you got to win or lose and get fired for your assessments if you're an NFL team, hyperbole goes out the door. They don't have any room for hyperbole. And so when you watch Caleb Williams, you see all the talent. You see the arm talent. You see the ability to extend and make special plays. You see the big flashes. But you also see hanging on to the football forever. You see too much hero ball. And I could also say I saw some of that with, you know, with Pat Mahomes when he was coming out. Right. He didn't have a whole lot to work with. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, I don't think it was great shakes of what Caleb Williams worked with this year. I think maybe the wide receivers are a little overrated and the offensive line wasn't very good. But I think that his ability to – his desire to win on every single play with a big play – you just can't survive that way in the NFL. So I think that's something he's got to get away from. You look at Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, now here's the difference. It took Jaden Daniels 5 years to get to this point. Jaden Daniels has been a five-year starter. Jaden Daniels is more thin-framed, which is going to be a concern, especially because he's a runner, and especially because he's a runner that doesn't slide great. And I'm sure you're from that area, so you know all about RG3's issues with the same thing. And there are some similarities between he and RG3, only I think, you know, Jaden is maybe a little more complete passer. But RG3 was very talented coming out. What really shined for me with Jaden Daniels is his ability to work against zones. He made anticipatory throws in the middle of, you know, in the middle of zone patches. He worked with confidence getting through his progressions. I think he was a full field reader, had two excellent wide receivers without question. That certainly helped him. But I also thought he played within the structure of the offense. You want to see him sit tight a little longer, maybe, as opposed to, or at least sometime when he breaks pocket, you wouldn't mind him, you know, maybe extending with his legs behind the line of scrimmage, looking to hurt people with his arm, because, you know, it's hard to make a living running as much as he did in college. Even when you're talented, eventually it'll catch up with you. But to be sure, on tape, without question, and I don't know anyone in the NFL that would disagree, on tape, the better tape this year was Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams.
And you think the tape much better than the other guys being talked about, possibly at two, Drake May and J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think with McCarthy, it's incomplete. You know, I think McCarthy's a sneaky one at two. I think you really got to keep an eye on him because he's got that same level of mobility. I know teams just rave about the intangibles. He's one that I would keep an eye on as a sneaky one. With Drake May, you have to sit him for a year. I don't think it's smart to play him right away. I just, for Drake, there's a little bit too much high ceiling, low floor for me. So I like Drake May's potential. I love the traits, but man, he just threw rockets for every throw as 100 miles an hour, had trouble putting the ball in with good placement on, you know, basic crossing routes. He didn't throw it with good touch. I just think there's still some football that needs to be played for Drake May. And some people look at that and use it as a positive, and they say, hey, he's only 21. You know, Jaden Daniels is 23. And, you know, this guy, geez, Drake's got a lot better. He's still going to get a lot better. But the reality of the NFL is if you don't do it within 2 years, you know, you're kind of stuck. Yeah. And I don't know if he can get where he needs to in 2 years unless ownership is really patient, and they do a good job of drafting around him.
We are talking to Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, the NFL Network. And I promise you, I didn't put Lance on here because everything he said I agree with. Been accused of putting only people on the air that like Jaden Daniels. That's not true. We had some people that liked Drake May on last week. But so I'm with you on everything. I don't know how anybody just watched college football this year and didn't see that Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback and the best player in college football this year. The one thing that I would push back on just a bit is, yes, he's got that RG3 speed, but he got vision as a runner. RG3 was a straight line, couldn't see what was coming around him, pocket or out on the loose. I think they're far different players. But I wanted to ask you specifically about what you know intangibles-wise. You mentioned, you know, McCarthy's are off the charts. What are you hearing about what people say about Daniels and his intangibles?
Solid in interviews. I think that they like his football intelligence, like the leadership that he gets along great with teammates, like the way that he vibes with his teammates, and he's a guy who is going to be well-liked in the locker room, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. I know that a team that I talked to who needs quarterback was not really impressed with any of the quarterbacks that much, didn't think there was a lot of juice for any of them. Not that they really, you know, wanted to see. So that's just, you know, that's kind of a personality thing, and everyone's kind of different where, as far as that's concerned. So I don't read too much into that one. But I do think there is, you know, it's kind of the Alabama situation where you come out of Alabama like Tua and you've got all these Corvettes around you, and then you have to go play in the league. And unless you have those same Corvette advantages, it's a little tougher. Well, he's going to go in with Washington, and right off the bat, he's going to play in a division that's a pretty competitive division, and he's going to have wide receivers that are not going to have the strong advantages like LSU had. So that's always a little bit of a you know, an unknown variable. It's how do you respond when your skill position players aren't better than the guys who are across from them? They may be, and I do think Washington will be aggressive, potentially moving back up for either, you know, wide receiver or offensive tackle with the draft capital. But, you know, how will he handle having an offensive line that needs to get a lot better in pass protection? These are things that Bryce Young didn't like any of those things too much last year.
Right. What do you think of the fit with Cliff Kingsbury if they go Daniels?
Well, I mean, I like it. Look,
I mean, you talked about Manziel and the different quarterbacks he's had. He's used to quarterbacks, but offensively, what kind? Because we're unfamiliar with what they'll end up running offensively. He pushed back on the whole air raid thing and said, you know, that's years ago.
It's true. I mean, he didn't run true air raid stuff. A lot of air raid coaches will tell you because of the splits in the NFL, you don't have the same You don't have the same spacing to utilize the advantages that you have in college. So, yeah, I think the air raid thing, there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some passing concepts and some route combinations that he uses. That's all fine and good. I do think that his experience, although not a successful one with Arizona, was a valuable one because it was a real good taste of what will and won't work in pro football. And so now we have to see if he's been able to learn from that. And I think, you know, what is it that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want? Honestly, that's kind of a hard question for the same reason that you talked about. You know, I think he knows you have to have mobility at quarterback now. But once you get past that, one of the reasons I feel comfortable putting Jaden Daniels there is because he's got touch to all three. I think his ball placement's good enough. I think he's got touches to all three levels of the field. And so being able to explore the field short, medium, deep, and then to get out of the pocket and make things happen, I saw him be able to get through progressions. A lot of times with air raid stuff, you have to, you know, make your pre-snap reads and your decisions of where you're going with the football. Well, that doesn't work in the NFL. So I don't know what Cliff has built into the system. I don't know how he changes the way he works with quarterbacks to really engage with the way defenses are played on the pro level. But clearly his time with Kyler Murray, and Kyler was not always easy to coach, obviously. Very difficult to coach. So I think having somebody who's a little more receptive is going to be great for Cliff. And, you know, it also may be good for Cliff just to focus in on offense, just to be an offensive guy and not to worry about running the team. I think that really could benefit Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, and look, Kyler is a different size than Jaden Daniels. I mean, you talked about his frame, and everybody's talked about his frame, but he's also nearly 6'4". And, you know, and Bryce Young, you mentioned him last year, Kyler Murray, those are tinier quarterbacks. So I am curious as to, you've got Washington taking Daniels at 2 in your latest mock draft. What are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is Daniels and McCarthy are the two to watch. I'm not hearing a lot about May. And I think that my guess is they're locked in on who they're going to take. I'd be shocked if they're not. I don't think you're going to play any games with that number two spot unless you get intel on other teams. You know, if you do like McCarthy, maybe you say, look, we'll trade out of here. We'll go 2 to 11. And then you take those two first-round picks from Minnesota, and then you aggressively move back up to number 4 with Monty Austin Ford, or maybe number 5 with the Chargers, and you look at a quarterback there again. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Cliff Kingsbury loves Michael Penix, and if he loves Michael Penix, then all bets are off that they could move out of number 2 and go draft Michael Penix sometime in the first round while picking up an extra draft pick. So, you know, that's the fun of the draft, and especially this year's quarterback classes. Once you get past Caleb and to me, Jaden, but, you know, for each team, to each team his own, I really have a hard time figuring out what 3, 4, and 5 is going to look like from a quarterback standpoint because, you know, talking to some sources, I guess Penix has kind of created some late heat and some teams and quarterback coaches, offense coordinators are really, you know, falling in love with some of the potential of Penix being able to push the ball vertically and having a more attack-oriented offense. So J.J. McCarthy is a huge wild card, and I think Michael Penix is developing into a wild card.
What do you think of Penix Jr.?
Wouldn't take until like 3rd. For me, the 4 season-ending injuries back-to-back-to-back-to-back bothers me. I know the last 2 years at Washington, he's been healthy. He doesn't throw well on the move. His completion percentage is like in the mid-20% range. And, you know, I had somebody from his agency said, well, Lance, he throws the ball away all the time. And that's true. He does throw it away. But, you know, at some point you got to try to make plays or make something positive happen instead of just throwing it away. But some of it's just bad accuracy. I watch the tape, and sometimes the accuracy is just not great. You know, for me, Penix had a lot of throws where you just throw it up there and let guys like McMillan, Polk, and Adunze go make plays. And he doesn't take many sacks, but part of that reason is because he's willing just to throw it up. And you can't just – that's not something you can do in the NFL and win. You can't just throw it up and let guys go in 50-50s. It's going to be a lot tougher. So, for me, Michael Penix injury history and some of his inconsistencies when he's forced to move his feet bothers me. It kind of bothers me a little bit.
Lance Zierlein is joining us. I just want to make sure that, you know, you've got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. You've got Daniels much closer to Williams than you do whomever you have 3rd. But 3rd, you have who?
3rd, I know
you've mocked Drake May, but who do you like?
Caleb Williams, I have a 6'7", 4", and Daniels, I have a 6'7", 3". They're basically, and the next quarterback on the list is Drake May at a 65, but that's my boom or bust grade. So, you know, basically, I would almost rather draft J.J. McCarthy than Drake May. And J.J. McCarthy, to me, is a borderline first rounder in most drafts. And then it goes Bo Nix and then Penix.
You've already alluded to this. Washington's got a ton of draft capital. They've got 6 picks in the top 100. In your mock, you've got them moving back into the first round. We've talked about that as a possibility. Tell everybody for whom.
Let me see. Who did I
remember?
Have? I believe Jordan. Was it Jordan Morgan?
No, you had him drafting the Georgia tackle, Mims.
Oh, Amarius Mims, yeah. Because Mims could fall a little bit because there's – he's missed some football. If teams get a little worried about, you know, locker room personality or injury history, he could fall a little bit. But if you're Washington, he's got the talent that might make it worth your time to jump up and draft him because he is one of the top 6 tackles, top 7 tackles on the board in what is the deepest tackle draft I've seen in a long time. So, yeah, I've got them moving back up and and taking a kind of a plug and play right tackle. There's going to be some bumps in the road early on, as there is for most offensive linemen, but you could do a lot worse in drafting Amarius Mims from Georgia. So I do believe they'll be aggressive this year with draft capital in terms of addressing that offensive line. You almost have to.
Is there any chance later in the first round Chop Robinson's available and that Washington would be interested?
Well, how late are we talking about?
At post 25, something where they can get in with giving up just one of their second round picks with a third or a fourth or a fifth or something like that.
There's a chance. Yeah, I think you'd need Xavier Thomas, Xavier Worthy rather, from University of Texas to go earlier. You need Brian Thomas. You need a run at a certain position. So if you had cornerbacks get drafted a little bit earlier, like who's pushing him down? Well, you'd have to have a cornerback. You'd have to have Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry probably go ahead of him. You'd need that run on offensive tackles where they all go fairly early. You want Graham Barton to go ahead of him. And, I could see it, but you'd have to have runs on certain positions, probably two positions, for him to get to the point that he made it past 25, 26. But I certainly think it's possible.
Who's
his
comp,
Lance? He's a rare tester, but
Lance,
the production's just not there.
Does he comp to somebody like Parsons or not?
Yeah, he comps to Parsons athletically and explosiveness, big-time comp, rare explosiveness. The problem is he doesn't know how to rush yet. So, but that doesn't bother me, because all you got to do is work on your hands, get with a good coach who can teach you, and frankly, good players, good teammates who can work with you on a two-hand slap, who can work with you on an inside spin move. Route running and learning to use your hands with pass rushes, I think that can come. When you have the rare get-off and ability to bend and corner, like he has things that could make him a terror like you saw with Von Miller. He has some of the same athletic attributes as Von Miller, only the explosiveness of, frankly, a Micah Parsons. So right now it's just a matter of having more reps and learning how to play the position. And it's going to come, but, there is a learning curve there. And there is, frankly, a little bit lower floor when you have a guy that has such little polish coming into the league and is all trades.
Yeah, you've been so generous with your time. Last one. You've done this forever. Do you remember this? I know the NFL just continues to become the behemoth and just bigger each year. But I don't remember a draft more anticipated than this one. And I think it's because of the quarterbacks. But what do you say?
Yeah, I think, it's not the best draft we've seen. But from an anticipatory standpoint, yeah, because I think people who are in the space or who really pay attention to the draft is, even though you say Caleb Williams is a guy, we're not sure what happens after that with quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks go early. And then for me, it's about, well, who's the first wide receiver off the board? And where do these three wide receivers get slotted? Because a lot of teams have different slottings on the big three themselves. And, when does the offensive tackle run start, and when does the pass rush run start, and when does the cornerback run? Because those are all three going to be groups that have a high number of players drafted in the first round. Brock Bowers, this guy is one of the most productive tight ends that we've seen in college. Where does Brock Bowers go? Is he Aaron Rodgers' new target, a new toy that Aaron Rodgers can play with now that the Jets have handled a lot of their their issues through free agency? So, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that this is so anticipated, because there's a lot of question marks about who goes where. But also, for me, the anticipation of the flow of the draft. How is this draft going to flow? Which position? Could there be a player like Chop Robinson that falls? Who's the player that's going to fall? And then you have medicals with Latu, and you have, you have certain guys that you just don't know how teams see their medicals. And we're talking about high-impact players.
Well, Latu could really be a high-impact player, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. It's much appreciated. I really enjoyed it.
You got it. Had a good time. Thank you.
Yep. Lance Zierlein, everybody, from NFL.com, NFL Network, at Lance Zierlein, Zierlein, on X. We'll follow up on that when we come back. Chase Hughes will join us at 12:35. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Lance Zierlein will be a part of the NFL Network's draft night coverage, April 25th through 27th, all three nights. The NFL Network has all of it, and they always do a great job. Lance will be a part of that broadcast, so tune in for the NFL draft on the NFL Network beginning Thursday night, a week from Thursday night is the NFL draft. So I think the idea, and obviously this will be a conversation next week, but certainly after the first pick is off the board, but we'll have this conversation in earnest late this week, next week. But I do think there's a decent chance that Washington uses all of its draft capital to trade up into the latter portion of the first round. If there's a player that they really like, if there's a player that, or if there's a team willing to do it, because, you know, they've got plenty of cap space. That's not necessarily the issue, but teams don't like to have, potentially, because you've got six in the top 100, six guys that could all be coming up for contract extensions at the same time, because they're the same draft year, you know. So that goes into the thinking, the long-term strategic thinking when it comes to salary cap management, contract management, etc. You know, when you have 12, 13, 14 picks in the draft, typically they're back-end loaded a lot of the times. Washington has only nine, but they are front-end loaded, meaning there is a better chance that they're nine players. They get more contributors out of the nine they draft this year because six are in the top 100, unless they're just really bad at doing this. And let's just say they ended up with four or five contributors out of this draft that they wanted to be long-term players. Then they all come up for contract discussions and extensions essentially at the same time. So that could be part of the thinking when you get into, you know, post quarterback at number two thinking in their draft board. Now, it may just be a function of, hey, we got a bunch of guys that are basically the same from 24 through, you know, 40, which is their second round pick. There's no reason to give up draft capital to move up to get a player that we've got got ranked just as high as somebody that we could take at 36 or take at 40. But a Chop Robinson, and I brought his name up, you know, Penn State, edge rusher, Quince Orchard High School, Gaithersburg. QO's been a Montgomery County power forever. There's a lot of discussion about, you know, Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, Micah Parsons. And if Cliff Kingsbury and the organization, really, not Cliff Kingsbury, but if the organization gets its quarterback, Dan Quinn, I'm sure, would love to have his pass rusher in this draft, you know, his potential next Micah Parsons. You know, if they had a Chop Robinson ranked much higher than anybody that they would have ranked at 36 or 40, or, you know, you could see that. You could certainly see that for the tackle, you know, a guy like Mims or a guy like Tyler Guyton. But don't be surprised, and we'll certainly be talking about more of this. We've talked about it already, but Washington will definitely be one of those teams that on NFL, you know, night one of the draft guys will start talking about, look at all of the capital they have, look at the needs they have. Is there a player that really stands out that is falling a little bit beyond where they thought they would go to move up, you know, say 10, 11 spots? You're not going to have to give up both of those second round picks, but you'll have to give up a second plus maybe that last in the third or a fourth, depending on which draft chart you use. All right, up next, Chase Hughes will jump on with us. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, which get underway tonight with the play-in games. Also, we will, I guess, attempt to wrap up the Wizards season, which wasn't very good. But what will they do at head coach? The answer next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shifting gears here for just a moment, because I care about the NBA playoffs, so does Chase Hughes, and I care about the Wizards to a certain extent, although this was a brutal year, but we'll talk some Wizards as well. Chase is jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Chase, you can follow on X at Chase DC Sports. Chase covers the Wizards, covers the NBA, covers the NBA draft for the Monumental Sports Group Network. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot during the course of the year because there just wasn't much to talk about. But I was thinking about something, and it's why I reached out to you, and we'll talk some NBA playoffs. Did Brian Keith do anything to keep the job?
I think he made a pretty decent case for himself. Yeah, based on the expectations that were set when that change was made in January. And first of all, I think we'll learn more about his situation tomorrow, because Michael Winger and Will Dawkins will address the media in their postseason press conference. And one way or another, you know, whether they're going to begin a search or, you know, if they give him a ringing endorsement, we'll learn something. But you know, what they wanted to see from the Wizards after they installed him as the interim coach was better team results. They felt good about the individual development of their young players and all their players for that matter, but they weren't competitive enough in games and they weren't upsetting teams that they thought they had a chance, you know, every once in a while surprise somebody, and they started doing that. So
yeah,
I think he made a pretty decent case for himself, but we'll see what Winger and Dawkins say about it.
Chase, who are the long-term keepers? Like, let's just say we're going to live in a world 3 years from now where either the upcoming draft or the 2025 draft or the 2026 draft, they add a true superstar level player. You know, they hit on Anthony Edwards, they hit on, you know, SGA, or, you know, a couple of the guys that have made differences for the teams. I know SGA didn't get drafted by OKC, but anyway, you've got that player, and you've got another guy that is, you know, a potential number two. Who of their group now ends up being a part of that future?
I would definitely start with Bilal Coulibaly. Obviously, he was the first draft pick that was made by Winger and Dawkins. They traded up to get him, and he's so young that he certainly fits into their long-term picture, and I think they really, really like his upside, particularly on the defensive end. And then you got to include Denny Avia in that conversation. You know, before this season, maybe there was a question mark. He was going into a contract year, but then they signed him to an extension and he took a big step forward. I think, you know, now that the dust has settled, I might point to his improvement this year as the biggest positive of the entire season, because yeah, he'd improved incrementally each year. You know, you had to be pretty pleased with his progress, but he made a big leap this season. Like, especially if you look at his numbers down the stretch and in the second half of the year and what he did as a 3-point shooter. Like, I think the bar has been raised pretty substantially for him in terms of what his long-term ceiling can be. So those guys I would definitely include in the mix. And then, you know, Corey Kispert, he's going to be going into a contract year next year, but he's continued to get better. And in general, the young guys who are, going to either under team control or going to be under team control and have upside, those guys are going to stick around, I think, and especially the ones that play the way that they want to play, which, you know, in the case of Kispert, I think his willingness as a passer and his 3-point shooting, those are going to be selling points. And it's a little bit harder to tell, of course, with guys like Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole, but they are also signed long term. So I could see scenarios where they do fit in, but, you know, it really depends on how long it would take to build a contender.
I'm glad you mentioned Denny Avdija, because I've become a fan. I think I was a fan even before this year, but I actually see a guy that could be on a really good team, like a big time number three, like a potential at some point down the road because of his versatility, his improvement as a shooter. You know, I've said before, like, it wouldn't shock me if he makes an all-star team at some point down the road. What do you think?
I think that's in play now. I mean, his season numbers were very impressive. I mean, he averaged about 15 points and 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and he was efficient. And we know he can play defense, and he fits into what the Wizards want to do long-term because he's got positional size, he plays defense, and he's really good in transition and on the fast break. And, you know, they were the fastest team in the league this year, and I think that's going to be something that will define them in the years to come. But, you know, I've been asked this question, like, well, what is Denny going to be someday? And it's been a bit of a moving target because he keeps getting better. But one guy who kind of stands out, it just dawned on me recently, is like the role that Aaron Gordon played on the Denver Nuggets last year during their championship run. They're about the same size. I don't know if we're ever going to see Denny dunking over a mascot in a dunk contest like Aaron Gordon did. But same size, can take on the toughest defensive assignments and be an absolute terror in transition. I think right now that would be what I'd look at. But if he keeps getting better, then I'll have to raise the bar again.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he had a chance to play next to Nikola Jokic as well. That would be helpful. All right, one more on the Wizards. So I know you know this, but for those who don't, Cooper Flagg is going to Duke this year, and then he is the projected number one overall, like big-time number one. People will be anticipating his draft in 2025. One of Carlos Boozer's sons, who's down in Miami playing high school ball, is already kind of a projected number one pick in the 2026 draft. But this draft, where we know the Wizards are going to have a very high pick, is not a draft with a consensus number one. What are you hearing? What are you thinking in terms of what the options would be for Washington? Let's just say they end up where their record is at number two.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. No consensus number one. Usually we know who the number one pick is going to be, and oftentimes we know who the number two pick is going to be at this point. Last year certainly was an extreme case with Victor Wembanyama, but even other years like Cade Cunningham, you knew who, you know, whoever got the number one pick in the lottery, who they were going to select. So this year does not have the slam dunk, like future superstar at the top, and it's been dinged as a draft class overall, but it's going to have stars. Every year has stars. Even some of the worst drafts produce multiple Hall of Famers. They're just picked later because no one saw it accurately at the time. But right now, I would say the two leaders in the clubhouse to go number one are both French players. Alex Sarr, who's a 7'1 center known for his defense, younger brother of Olivier Sarr, who plays for the Thunder, and also Zachary Risacher, who's about 6'8", 6'9", a wing who plays like a two, who I'd probably compare to like a Michael Porter Jr. Or, you know, if he really, really works out, then maybe a Jason Tatum, the type of guy who's got a skill set that is really intriguing for his size.
Both are French,
and then
right?
After that, there's – what's that? Both are French, yeah. And then you've got two Kentucky guards, Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham. We'll probably go after that. Two guys – for G League Ignite, Matis Bucelis and Ron Holland who will go after that. And another guy I would say, the third candidate to go number one might be Cody Williams of Colorado. I've seen him atop a few mock drafts. But right now I think it's probably going to be Sarr or Risacher.
I like Dillingham a lot. Not huge on Cody Williams, but I only saw him play towards the end of the year in the tournament. I actually think that UConn center Donovan Klingon's got to be a top three to top five pick after, you know, really seeing him, you know, in the tournament. I mean, he's a much better pro prospect than Zach Edey. What do you think?
Yeah, that might be a little high for my taste, but a guy who I compare him to is Mark Williams of the Charlotte Hornets, who played at Duke a few years ago and is turning into a very good rim protector in the NBA. So I think normally I would take a guy like that around 10 or 11 as Mark Williams went. But in this draft, you know, without those stars at the top, maybe he falls in around 7th or 8th. But yeah, definitely. If you're looking for a defensive rim protector, he might be the second best option after Alex Sarr.
All right, let's talk NBA playoffs. I mentioned earlier in the show, tonight is night one of the play-in. Lakers, New Orleans first, Warriors, Kings follow. I suggested yesterday and today, and I want to get your thoughts, that if I'm the Lakers or if I'm a Lakers fan, I want them to lose tonight. I want them to lose to the Pelicans and then win the next one and get OKC in the first round. They don't have a chance against Denver. Do you think that could be in play for the Lakers tonight?
I agree with you that that's probably the best route to go. I mean, they played the Nuggets last year and got swept, right?
Yeah, so, they haven't beaten the Nuggets in 2 years, like a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah, and Oklahoma City, while they look absolutely amazing and are top four, I think, in offensive and defensive rating, it's really hard to win in the playoffs when you're young, and they are the youngest team ever to get the number one seed. So I don't know if the Lakers would actively try to lose this game, but I would certainly like their chances better against the Thunder than I would against the Nuggets, especially after seeing what Nikola Jokic did recently to both Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert, the top two candidates for Defensive Player of the Year. He dropped 40-plus on each of those guys.
Quick aside, do you think Jokic wins the MVP again?
I do. ESPN did a straw poll of voters around the country, and I actually participate in that and voted for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it was something like 85 of 100 writers had Nikola Jokic, so it doesn't sound like it's even going to be that close.
You know what? I don't blame you. I mean, he was – SGA was that good and that important to, you know, raising Oklahoma City to be the youngest team ever to grab a one seed since they went to, you know, 16 teams in the postseason, eight per conference, which I think was back in 1984 or something like that. So, yeah, look, for me, it's like if I'm LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it's I don't care about making the playoffs. You know, the Pelicans care about getting into a best of seven. I'm in it to win it. If I go home after Thursday night, I'm better off being that than being in a series against Denver, which is going to send me home within a week anyway. So I'm curious as to how they play it tonight. Here's a question for you as it relates to the playoffs as a whole. Who's got the most pressure on them? It could be coach, it could be a player, it could be an organization. Who's feeling the heat the most entering this postseason? Because I think there are a couple of choices here, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Celtics and Jason Tatum are probably feeling a certain level of pressure because they've gone so far in the playoffs, but they haven't been able to win at all. And I was just looking this morning about teams that have won as many games as they did this year. 64 wins are a lot. I mean, 28 teams before them have won that many games or the equivalent in shortened seasons, and 20 of them have gone to the finals and 16 have won it all. So obviously there's some high expectations for them, and they're in the Eastern Conference, which is a much easier road to the finals than the West is. But I think the Suns and the Clippers, you know, even though they're the Suns are the sixth seed and the Clippers are the four seed, you got to feel a lot of pressure if you're those teams because they have such expensive payrolls. And it seems like now or never with the age of their stars between James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George on the Clippers, and, of course, the Suns with Kevin Durant, like it kind of has to work sooner than later. So I'd probably point to those teams, maybe even more so than the Celtics.
I agree with both of those. I actually think that, you know, well, it depends on Giannis's health, and it looks like he's going to miss the beginning part of this. But I think there's some pressure on Dame Lillard and Doc Rivers in particular. But you nailed it in the West. I mean, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard together, they've not played a full postseason healthy. Kawhi's coming into this not completely healthy. A lot of pressure on the Clippers to deliver. They're playing probably the hottest team in basketball. And then I do think Kevin Durant's got a lot of pressure on him, Chase. I mean, he leaves Brooklyn. They have this, you know, perceived super team with Booker and with Beal. And they, you know, they won 49 games. I get it. The West was loaded, but they're the sixth seed. Like, can you imagine if they lose in the first round of the T-Wolves? What are people going to say about Durant? And he's one of the greatest ever do it. I think everybody understands that. But if he goes home again without at least a finals appearance or a chance at the finals, I don't think that's a good look for him.
Yeah, the West is just so tough. You mentioned they won 49 games, and that's against playing a lot more Western Conference teams in the East. The 49 wins would be the third seed in the East. So,
right.
You know, Phoenix, obviously, their payroll is skyrocketing. I had some questions from the start, just, you know, the lack of a true point guard and, you know, being so offense-oriented. And then, of course, they had some health issues. Anyone could have pointed to that because of the age of their players. You know who's been really good lately is Bradley Beal, actually. So
yeah, yes,
you know,
he has been.
Who knows? They just played the Timberwolves really well to close out the year. Frank Vogel's done it before as a head coach, so can't count them out. But certainly, if they do lose, especially in the first round, you know, you wonder if how Kevin Durant will feel about that because, you know, he's kind of jumped from team to team in recent years, but. I would just say if life would be a lot easier if he was in the Eastern Conference.
It would be. So, I mean, Boston, it'd be hard to think that anybody could beat them in a best of seven. But if I told you that they were taken to seven, which team does it? I'm talking about in the East.
I think it would be the Knicks. You know, the Giannis injury is really concerning for the Bucks, and if he was healthy, then I'd say it's them. But I would say it's the Knicks. You know, the other teams are either too young or, you know, like the Cavs, I really like their defense, but can they score enough? I don't see the Pacers doing it. The 76ers with the Joel Embiid injury questions, that's a big thing for me. They haven't proven that they can go deep in the playoffs anyways, and that's with a healthy Joel Embiid. And I don't think the Heat are going to go on another Linsanity run like we saw last year. So I think the Knicks are legit. I think their depth is really impressive, so I'd say them.
Yeah, I think this Miami 76ers game tomorrow night is huge because neither one of them, I don't think, has a shot against Boston as an eight. But I could see the Heat going in. I could see the Heat winning a best of seven against the Knicks and then against an unhealthy Milwaukee team. And there we are with Jimmy Butler in the Eastern Conference Finals again or beyond. I mean, it's his time of year. This should be one of the better, certainly the West, as unpredictable and as wild as we've seen in the NBA playoffs. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll ask you now in case I don't have you on anytime, maybe after a series is done, who are you picking in the West?
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Really?
The Nuggets obviously look really good, and Jamal Murray goes from good player to absolute superstar in the playoffs. But it's been so hard for teams to repeat in recent years. And I like how the Timberwolves have the best defense in the league. And Karl Anthony Towns is back. Their depth is as good, I think, as any team. If you look all the way down the line, with especially their defensive pieces and the emergence of Naz Reid. And I think there's something special about Anthony Edwards. I know he's only 22 years old, but the way he can make big shots and basically become unstoppable late in games while also making stops on the other end of the floor, I just could not be higher on his future. And I think this year he gets them going on a very deep playoff run.
Had 51 last week against the Wizards, which was ridiculous. Thanks for doing this on short notice. I appreciate it. Hope you're well.
Absolutely. It was great coming on. Thanks for having me.
Chase Hughes, everybody, at Chase DC Sports. All right, that's it for the day. Thanks to Chase, Lance Zierlein, Greg Wyshynski. Chris did a great job. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.